Welcome to Just James's podcast. Scooby doo doo, wobbity wow, Ben and Mariah. Wow. With Thomas, definitely not Timothy. Yeah! Nailed it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Just James. It's your host, James. And my beautiful plant, my co-host, my buddy, Thomas, with me. Guys, I'm a day late, so I'm so sorry. It's the second week in a row. I have no excuses. This is unacceptable behavior. I'm so sorry. I just have so much going on. I am working my tail end off from sunrise to sunset. I am so incredibly busy. To the point now that I'm considering giving up my dog grooming business, which is really sad because I really love it, but I'm really struggling to do both, plus the podcast, plus eat and sleep and have some reminiscence of watching a TV program or watching a TikTok or something for at least 5 minutes. So I'm sorry, guys. It's just one of these weeks. It's Thursday, my dudes. It's not Wednesday. I need to get my act into gear. You know what my problem is? I'm struggling with the multitasking. This is my biggest problem. And some of my clients, I'm making mistakes. I'm doing things wrong because I'm doing things too quickly. I'm trying to do too many tasks at the same time. And I'm failing. And I think sometimes we have to admit when we're not doing well at things. We all can't be phenomenally, amazingly fantastic at all given points, at all given times. And that's okay. We don't have to be good at everything at the exact moment and everything that we're doing in our lives at all possible times. And I am simultaneously switching back and forth between so many different things that in such rapid succession, I'm making mistakes. And is multitasking actually a good thing? It's a great way to get a lot of things done. Research has shown that our brains are not very good at handling multiple tasks as much as we'd like to be. And in fact, I think some research suggests that multitasking can actually hamper productivity and reduce your compensation, your attention, and your overall performance. And that is exactly what's happening to me. I am doing too many things at the same time. I'm answering calls while I'm getting on a bus to go to dog groom. I'm then dog grooming, answering calls. I'm getting back. I'm going through 3 to 4 different calendars at the same time, including my own, which will make it 5. And doing phone calls while I'm doing that. I'm doing multiple tasks. I'm doing training for one client. I'm then also doing a project for another. I'm trying to do everything at the same time. And it's just making it almost impossible for me to accomplish anything at the moment. And I need to just take my diary, break down times in the day and be like, right, you're doing this in this time, you're doing this in this time, instead of me trying to do 4 different people's work at the exact same time. And it's distracting, it's disruptive. And I think it's putting a mental block on me in all aspects. You know, it even for me to do the podcast yesterday, I was so exhausted. I'd done all my work for 4 clients all day. I'd still groomed 3 dogs yesterday. I cleaned my entire flat yesterday. And by the time it came to doing the podcast, I didn't have the mental capacity to do it. And I would rather take the time, think about what I'm going to talk with you about this week, because this podcast is about you and me every single week. And it would have been half-assed. I would have done it in 15 minutes because that's all the time my brain would have mentally had. And I'd spoken so much yesterday, I didn't feel like talking. And that's okay. It's fine. I think that we are all entitled to days where we can't give our all. And you deserve that. You deserve my all. So today I took the time, I sat down, I thought about what I'm going to talk to you about. And of course, I was like, let's talk about how I'm surviving at the moment. I don't have time for my friends. I don't have time for my family. I'm just so busy. So I think, you know, when you're multitasking, there's loads of examples. I mean, I'm sure we all understand what multitasking is. But if you're doing 2 projects at the same time, you're listening to the radio while you're driving, you're talking on your phone while you're typing an assignment, you're watching TV and responding to work emails, all of these things are really basic
multitasking examples. You know, if you're scrolling through social media while you're in a meeting, you're listening to a person while you're writing things down, all of these things, you be sort of like, it's, you know, like sometimes you're staring at your phone and then you suddenly realize you're watching a movie. You don't know where you are in the movie. It's just because you're doing too many things at the same time. And it can take a toll on productivity. It really can. Our brains lack the ability to perform multiple tasks at the same time. And we are likely to switch from task to task. Focusing on a single task is much more effective and it can give you several better results. So multitasking is actually distracting. It's instead of just doing one thing, getting one thing done, multitaskers refocus on different things. We distract ourselves. And researchers have found that it's distractible. It's we trouble focusing our attention even when we're not working because we're so busy doing multiple tasks all day that when we finally shut down, our brains can't because we're so used to doing 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 different things at the exact same time. And I'm a clumsy person. I knock over things. I break things. I hurt myself. I cut myself. I'm a clumsy person. I do things too quickly as well. It's definitely, I need to slow down when I'm with anything I'm doing, let alone multitasking, because I make mistakes. I really do need to be more effective, need to be more efficient, and just slow myself down. And sometimes I think that's why I get so burnt out as well. Is that I'm so constantly in the spiral of doing so many things that when I finally actually my brain gives in and goes, you need a break, I almost crumble because there's just so many things that I'm doing. And I struggle to turn myself off. I struggle to turn my brain off. I struggle to take time off. I'm an absolute workaholic. I don't take time off. And it's an automated behavior. And I think that sometimes just getting one thing done properly, getting it finished and moving on to the next thing would be a lot more effective. It also impairs executive function. And what that is, it's functions in the brain. So it's goal shifting, it's rule activation. It's moving through these stages more than a tenth of a second, but you could start sort of taking that a little bit slower and dealing with each thing, folding the laundry properly, watching TV at the same time. All of these things, all of these situations where safety and productivity is important, like, for example, driving a heavy vehicle while you're talking on a cell phone. Or, you know, there's actually like consequences to multitasking. And like I said, we make mistakes. It lowers your performance. It makes you more prone to make mistakes. And research has shown that students who multitask in class tend to have lower GPAs or lower sort of test scores. And it takes them longer to finish homework. Adults who have a lower performance in multitasking often make mistakes in driving if they're multitasking. And the brain function of a multitasker doing several things at the same time can impair cognitive ability. So even for people who multitask frequently, in fact, researchers suggest that people tend to overestimate their abilities to multitask, and people who engage in habits most frequently often lack the skills needed to be effective at it. So chronic multitaskers like myself tend to show more impulsiveness with their peers, and they're more likely to downplay the possible risks associated with tasking multiple things at the same time. So limiting cognitive research may also involve sort of several networks of the brain where we set tasks like goal setting, identifying the information that we need to achieve, disregarding irrelevant information. All of these things at the same time can lead to cognitive errors, and we fail to discard irrelevant information. We are so distracted with everything going on us that sometimes our exact relationships become multitasking. It affects our brain function. It's possible for chronic brain changing all the time, where you almost are distractible and you really struggle to focus because you're so used to doing things all the time that when you're actually left with one thing, you get bored quickly. You get frustrated doing one thing at a time because your brain has, I mean, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I don't know the exact formality behind this. I'm sort of like paraphrasing information that I read, but spreading attention so thin and constantly being distracted by different streams of information can have long-term negative impacts on how we connect relationships. Media multitasking. Some researchers suggest that people that use multiple things like looking on your phone, watching TV, there was a questionnaire that was done, and I can't remember when it was done. And the participants completed a visual search task, both with and without sound. And the heavy multitaskers performed better on the search with the sound when the sound was present than when it wasn't, because their brains are so used to multitasking that they can't actually function until they've got all of the different elements behind it. So it all comes down to breaking these habits. And I'm one to talk, and I have to say this, because I probably tomorrow will be back in the same position I am today, where I've got 10,000 things going on. I finally found half an hour where I could sit down, do my podcast with you guys, and then I'm going to go back to the mayhem that's my job. And it's the productivity and the efficiency. I have to find a way to slow down. I have to find a way to allocate my days better. And I'm trying to limit the number of things that I'm trying to juggle. So for sometime you just need to maybe just do things a little bit slower, like folding laundry or focusing on a conversation. You can also use something called the 20-minute rule. So instead of constantly switching between tasks, you can try and fully dedicate your attention to one task for 20 minutes before you switch to the other. And batch your tasks. If you have trouble resisting the urge to check your emails or sort of things that are going to distract you, then schedule time in the day where you can tackle all of that, where you can batch certain tasks together, where you feel confident, you feel that you can handle them together, and try and limit those distractions that are around you. Find a quieter place to work, switch your phone off, turn off notifications and alarms, and practice mindfulness. It can really help you with the timing that it takes for the multitasking, when the mindfulness can also provide you with the ability to focus and pay attention on one thing at a time. So is multitasking bad for your health? Yes, I think it is. Being a multitasking person, I think that it reduces my ability to focus. It increases my feelings of stress. I think it accelerates impulsiveness. And I'm a terribly impulsive person. The weird thing is that I don't have OCD. I mean, I'm probably OCD about cleanliness in my house, but I'm not like ADHD or ADD or any of these numbered things where, you know, I sort of hyper focus on things. I certainly don't have ADHD. So for me, who's so prone to multitasking and constantly completing multiple tasks at the exact same time, I definitely am not performing better. I'm definitely making mistakes. I'm making mistakes in diaries. I'm making mistakes with appointments. I'm doing too much at the same time. And I myself am feeling very burnt out at the moment. I'm looking forward. Next month, I am going on a trip with some family, but I can't say too much in case my family listens to the podcast, because it's kind of a surprise. So I don't think they will. My family doesn't really listen to my podcast, which is fine. I don't mind. Let them live their best lives. And also, I talk so much to them that why would they listen to my podcast? So I tell them everything about the podcast anyway. But guys, the TikTok has been banned in the USA. And with such a large USA following on this podcast, I'm sorry, guys. I'm so obsessed with my TikTok. I'm going to miss all of you. I love watching TikToks. And I think what I understand to have happened is that there was a whole lot of, and I could have this wrong, so you guys can correct me. I think you'll understand this a little bit better. When I say you guys, my American followers, I believe that TikTok was put into a bill with a number of other international strategies that need to take place. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that Biden can't pull out the one thing in that bill, because then it's bias, and not approve everything, because the other things in this bill were quite important to be passed over. So I'm pretty sure there'll probably be a lawsuit. I'm pretty sure TikTok will fight back, and they can't ban it while it's in a lawsuit. But there has been a ban in the US, and Biden will approve the law that states the platform will be blocked if it's Chinese owned. So ByteDance, who is the mother company for TikTok, will not sell unless they sell within the next 9 months, which I don't think they will. But the US politicians fear that their data is going to the Chinese government. And despite TikTok reassuring them that it was not, and the amount of information that probably is going to China and other resources, there would be hundreds and thousands of websites that they would need to ban in order for no information to go to China. So anyway, but it was approved by the Senate on Tuesday. It's part of a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine and Israel, which Biden signed off on Wednesday. And it's just such a crazy thing. So I think the fact that the Constitution is on your side and you're expected to prevail, it's really hard to say. I think the fact that it takes away freedom of speech, in a bit of a way, you know, there's 170 million US users that use TikTok, and they use it for freedom of speech. And the fact that TikTok has been now banned, it's just so crazy that the federal government I think the federal government has 4 million employees that have devices, and they're all going to be banned in the US. But there's things that could be done. There's appeals that can happen at the moment. Whether that does, I'm not too sure. But I mean, I'm kind of getting my information off TikTok as well. So I'm not quite sure where they're going to go after this ban. You know, it's such an influential platform. And I think there's so many people that are earning a living off the platform that they're now going to take money out of the economy, which I don't know what all of these users are going to do. Would they go back to Instagram and get brand deals? I'm not too sure. I think Facebook threw his toys at the cop because he was on the number one platform. He initiated this whole thing. Whether people on coming from TikTok and looking for something new, I think he feels like he's suddenly going to have an influx of users. I don't know. But it's unfortunate that this has happened, that such a great platform where people have freedom of speech, where people talk about things. I learn a lot of information through TikTok. I actually learn really cool stuff. And if that goes away, do they go back to Meta? Do they go back to Instagram, Facebook? Do you move over to, I think it's called Slacks? But Slacks is like a 2017 TikTok. The technology and the screen of it is not, the For You page is not as good as TikTok. But I'm pretty sure if 1.7 million users move over to them, they would then have the resources and the sponsors to maybe increase the use of it, make it a better platform. I'm not too sure. But there's definitely, I'm very unsure where everybody's going to go from here. And I mean, I'll probably still stay on TikTok. I do enjoy the app. But losing all the lovely Americans is just so sad. There's a huge opportunity for another company to maybe stand up here, to maybe bring in a platform. I don't think if Zuckerberg brought in a type of TikTok, I would go on it. I think he's just like a perpetual child who's lost the bet. But yeah, it's difficult to say. I'm not quite sure where everybody's going to go with this. So what are you guys thinking? Where are your thoughts? Where are you guys thinking you're going to go if you're a TikTok watcher like I am? I'd love to know. I've started collecting. I've started to get back into my workouts this week. It's been ages. I've probably been lazy for 6 months. I've lost motivation. It was winter. It was cold. It was miserable. I just wanted to drink wine and stay warm. And it's now the sun's coming out. It's getting dark later. It's time. So Monday I started. I took my iPad with me and I worked from the treadmill. I was literally answering calls and booking in appointments while walking on the treadmill on Monday. So I'm trying my best to get both done. And I think that there's growing evidence that exercise makes a difference to your performance, makes a difference to our health. We all know that we train our bodies to try and do better. And some of the top athletes that compete in, for like the ultimate prizes in sport, like Olympic Games and things like that, they train at certain times of the day that are better for you and better for your body and better for you to actually perform better. So if you've got a schedule, it means that you've got time to exercise. Most people say that the best time to exercise is 7 a.m. And I don't know how true that is. I'm pretty sure there's probably evidence to it, but recreational cyclists do it. Guys that are sort of competing for Olympics and stuff like that, they start at like 5. That's very different. But I think it affects day to day. And if you have a schedule and you have time to exercise at 7, there's some indications that it's the peak time for athletic performances. So one can maybe fine tune their metabolisms. You can exercise based on your, on sort of like what you're trying to do. So at the root of the difference about how our bodies perform and respond to exercise is the body's molecular clock. So sometimes like regulating behavior like sleeping and appetite within like the day, your central clock can find the response to light and get exposure to signals. And sometimes the skeletal muscle clock responds better to exercise at 7 o'clock in the morning, which I never knew. I thought that was quite interesting. There was a psychologist that did some tests in Sweden, and they researched the interaction between exercise and your sort of like circadian system. And they found that you burn more fat if you exercise first thing in the morning. So you minimize, you're maximizing your health benefits. You're sort of helping your metabolism. You're helping type 2 diabetes and diabetes and obesity. And a lot of people have agreed that exercise is better for you in the morning than it is in the evening. You know what I find as well? Is that I try and go like morning time, but I go at like 10-ish. That's like my gym time. But if I exercise in the evening, I'm like almost like too wound up. I can't sleep. Like it sort of like wakes everything up, and then I've got all this energy and I literally can't go to bed. So for me, working out in the morning, by the time it does come to the evening, I've reset my muscle clock. I've reset my body. I've had a good day. My brain function is better. And then that evening, I sleep so well. It's so much better for me. So the last 3 days, today I haven't. It's just been one of those crazy days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I've been so active. It's been great. But now being Thursday, I've sort of given my body a break as well. I don't want to overdo it. It's my first week back. If I sort of like, if I overextend myself, by next week, I'm not going to want to keep going. So I'll go again tomorrow, get back on it tomorrow, get like my head in the game, and that's what I'm going to do. But all is good. Other than that, everything's fine. But my lovely conundrum queen last, Mish got the conundrum last week. She's the only one that got it right. And it says, I am a word of letters 3. Add 2 and fewer there will be. What am I? And the answer is few. So well done, Mish. I love it when she guesses. It's always my favorite because she's just so good at these conundrums. And this week's one is, if you drop me, I crack. If you smile at me, I smile back. What am I? If you drop me, I crack. If you smile at me, I smile back. What am I? So send your answers to just_james_podcast. And I'll give you a shout out next week if you get it right. Guys, you know, success is a sum of small efforts. And if you repeat it day in and day out, we're going to get successful. And sometimes we all just need to take a break. We all just need to slow down and realize that every step by step, we're going to reach our successes. And we just have to sometimes realize that we're not bulletproof. We're not able to do it all. And if you can sort of succeed within all of that, there's no better benefit. So I'm so sorry again that my podcast is a day late, everybody. It is my fault. I'm sorry. But I will try and be better next week, I promise you. I'm going to let this go. I know it's a little bit earlier than my normal, a little bit shorter than my normal podcast, guys. I'm so sorry. I'm just exhausted this week, but I love talking to you and I cannot wait to talk to you again next week. So have a lovely day. Goodbye.
They're the two best friends that anyone can have. They're the two best friends that anyone can have. They're the two best friends that anyone can have. Jess, James, and Thomas the Plant.